Mean Green Money Podcast, brought to you by the University of North Texas Student Money Management Center. Join us as students and guests share personal experiences, navigate financial complexities, and offer insights, practical strategies, and actionable advice. Let's begin.
Hello. Welcome to Money Talks. I'm Chance McGowan. This is Samuel Buffo. And this is Corbin Hall. Am I right? Today we're here to talk, I'm going to talk about budgeting, right? Budgeting, as we all know, is the act of saving your expenses and divvying them out accordingly over the course of a month or a year or a week, however long you want to do it. But there's two other factors to budgeting that we don't really think about, right? It's the fact that you got to tally up your expenses after the fact and put that towards a new budget, and the fact that we... I forgot that last part about budgeting, bro.
I'm sorry.
But I will say this. You know, I don't have the best experiences when it comes to budgeting. And I will preface this by saying this. Everything that we say in this podcast or this little video is purely optional. Any tips or tricks that we give you, you know. But my parents, they starting out, they weren't exactly the most financially literate. You know what I'm saying? And when I was little, we didn't save up our money as much until we got to a point where we kind of needed to, our apartment flooded. And so we needed to get money real quick and hold on to that money. And so then we started saving up. And our dad, he told us this one thing, you know, put 5% of your money you get tithes, right?
Yeah,
put 5% in the tithes, you know, put 5% in the savings, and you can spend the rest. And we didn't used to spend the rest. We used to just put 5% in the tithes. But in order to make this conversation a little bit more enjoyable, we brought two guests with us, Francis and Chrislyn from Trio. And I'm going to pass it on to Chrislyn real quick to get some of her tips and experiences about budgeting. Chrislyn, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
How did you start? How did you start budgeting?
How did I start budgeting? Honestly, it started recently, back in last semester. So I'm an off-campus student working full-time. And I remember that since me personally, at the place I stay at, the rent is very high, very expensive. So back in my last apartment, I used the financial aid that I used to pay for the meal plan. But since my rent rose higher than my last apartment's rent, I used that meal plan to pay for my rent and just use whatever's left over.
Okay. How do you come up with your budget every month?
Okay, so for me, I only have experience with budgeting with my food. So my mom told me that since I live off campus and I now have to cook food for my own since I didn't pay for a meal plan, she put me on a 200 budget. So I could buy as many groceries as I want, even if it's just straight up snacks or straight up healthy stuff, but it can max out to 200. If it does max out, then I can't buy any more groceries. And that goes from every month.
Okay. Well, that should not be it. I'm gonna pass it on to Sam. We'll talk about savings.
For me, saving is like not a weird topic. It's just really simple. Like, especially growing up, I know Francis, you can back me up on this, but growing up in a Ghanaian household, it's more so like anytime you got money from your aunts, your uncles, or your grandparents, or whoever, your parents, especially my mom. It was always my mom. My dad didn't care. It was always my mom. She was like, "I'm gonna hold it for you." I'm like, "What do you mean? I wanna spend it on my..." "No, just give it to me. I'll give it to you later." I mean, sometimes she would, and sometimes she wouldn't, you know?
No.
The money would just disappear sometimes, but essentially she was just teaching us about saving. Obviously we wanted to spend the money in the moment, but it wasn't really smart too, because whatever expenses we had later, even though we were kids, we would just use that money to pay for it. I mean, yeah, and Chris, I want to ask you, like, especially because you're an immigrant. you moved here. It's like, how was it for you, like, financially in Ghana, like, in terms of, like, financial literacy?
financial literacy, we didn't really have any sort of like knowledge coming from anywhere to teach you about you need to save this, you need to put aside this amount of money for this and that. But I would say that times were tough for us. There were times where like I would go to school and we didn't have like free food for the students and stuff. And my family was going through like a rough patch. So I would go to school for like 2 years straight and I wouldn't eat breakfast. I would just like, I could only afford lunch. So I just wait till lunchtime and then get the food from there. And then I get like extra cause nobody likes the burnt part of the rice. So I just get that too. And it was like, yeah, that's healthy for you. Just eat that. And I would eat all of it. And like, just talking about your mom saying, let me hold that money for you. When my uncle came from the United States or my auntie came from the United States, come home, they give me like $5, $20 or something like that. Sometimes $100 actually, and I'll be hyped. I'll be jumping around, like, yeah, I got money now. And my mom said, let me hold that for you. I'll put it in the bank. And then say like a month or two later, I ask her, can I have some of that money to go buy something? And she's like, what do you think you were eating the food in the house from? Like, what do you think we used to buy all that fish and stuff to eat? Like, so it's really like, it was tough times and it got me through. My mom practiced the good stuff, like saving and then budgeting and stuff. So I think that pretty helped us pretty a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, now that you're here in the U.S., or like officially moved in, fresh off the boat. I'm sorry. But like, how would you say like you've had to learn financial literacy or like just learn how to like saving or budgeting and all any of that?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've learned quite a few things from, say, the TRIO program that I'm in, that they have workshops for financial literacy and stuff. So I've learned how to budget for like a month or two. I usually do mine for like 3 months at a time. And I forgot what I was gonna say, but yes, I can also go extensive amount of time without having to spend anything, because all I have to do is buy gas and I don't really have to buy food because I live at home.
Yeah.
So I can just pack up food from home and then come in. So what I mostly spend my money on is just the necessary stuff. Well, maybe I've been a bit of a slump lately where I bought a ton of clothes or whatever, shoes.
It happens.
But like, it's helped me. My family is also pushing me to like spend my money wisely. Say, I know a lot of people don't think of this at a young age, but life insurance, they got me doing life insurance already. So like, that's why I budget for like 3 months at a time, because I pay quarterly. So every 3 months I have to pay about $630 for my life insurance.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty good policy. It's helping me. And having gone through what I went through in Ghana with the financial struggle and all that, it's not really much of a struggle now, because I know that I got money coming in 2 weeks from now. So if I spend all of this on the necessary stuff, I can use some of this for some snacks or like whatever I want. And that's pretty good. That's essentially all I needed.
Appreciate it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right, so before I begin on my segment at least, I gotta preface by saying that this is not financial advice whatsoever.
Please.
I'm not gonna say don't take heed to what I'm saying, but I will say that this is just me sharing my experiences with earning money, investing, etc. So do your own research, make sure you know what you're doing for yourself, and don't rely too heavily on my word, I would say. But first and foremost, when it comes to saving at least, one thing you can do is put it in the high yield savings account. And so what that is basically a savings account that generates more interest than not. So right now, as of this recording, the highest you currently earn is around 4.5% to 5% APY, which is just the average, like the interest rate in which you earn on the money put in. You mostly get it back every month, but that's just a general percentage that some banks and some, even Cash App now, I think,
even has it to where you get like more like 5%. So from saving, right, you get money somehow, some way, and whatever you have left that you don't spend goes into that. Now, the question is, how do you get money to save in the first place, right? So the way I'll break this down essentially is in the active and passive income. So actively, I would say, obviously it's like an active job, like a 9-to-5, anything of that nature. But if I may ask, first and foremost, do y'all work on or off campus or both?
I work on our campus.
On campus.
On campus.
I work on campus.
Off campus. That's great. So when it comes to working off campus, I will say that there's a lot of jobs that are out there that pay well, that are like not necessarily niche, but more, I guess, worth your time as a student. Because as a student, you know, you're too busy studying to really work a full 8 hours a day. So you have to find a good part time. And I would say most go into retail. I don't work in retail. I actually work more in the back end. Right now I work at, I don't know if I can say this, but I work in a warehouse, basically, part time. With very shifty hours, but again, like, the benefit, I get tuition reimbursement at my job.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I do.
I was like, it's you all, bro.
Yeah, so I'm saying, so like, there's jobs that offer great benefits and things of the sort on top of the pay already. So I would say the hourly rate is 21 an hour.
Jeez Louise! Hey, bro, put me on. No, put me on.
I got you.
Yeah, just go ahead and drop that job application.
Yeah, I got you.
Not even worried about it. Just put it in.
But most warehouse jobs pay in that same like pay range too.
True.
Whether it be Amazon.
Okay. True. I've heard Amazon is like
not great.
Yeah, not great.
They have benefits though.
Shoot. Yeah, but if you just work for the benefits and everything else is like.
But it adds up though. That's why when you actually like decide on what job you want to work as a student. But really, in general, you have to weigh the pros and cons and see if the benefits and actual pay end up balancing out, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, there's Amazon. It's better than retail, I'll say that too, right? So, depending on what you want to get into and if you want to be customer-facing or not, there's Amazon, there's UPS, there's all kinds of, like smaller warehouses that exist where they pay in that same pay range that you can work at with, again, like shifty hours, but that's just kind of what comes with the job to a degree. There's other jobs that are active right now. I would say another position that you could apply for if you want to get like the cyber related at least, are help desk jobs. You know, IT related jobs that don't require too much experience but are good enough to get your foot in the door. I know there's schools that usually hire for help desk jobs. There's companies always hiring for help desk jobs. But that's just a good way to, you know, get paid while a student, unless like putting too much effort into your job so you can maintain the energy you have throughout the day to both work your job and be active in your classes.
Can I add something?
Yeah, of course.
Also, if you don't want to do nothing like that, I will also see if your college has any opportunities work-wise to help, you know, gain some experience in whatever field you're going into, right? Like, I work out at the radio station here on campus, you know, and they help me go around broadcasting so I can help hone my skills. And then I also work at the SRI office here at Sam.
Hi.
And that helps me with project management and more in order getting involved with students and learning how to work with people. And I know Kristen and Francis probably do the same thing at TRIO, where they get to work with people and help manage projects and all that and get to really, really use their skill set.
Yeah. And again, this is all active. There's an entire other side of that coin where it's passive income. And again, that's where you're investing your high yield savings account kind of fall into. So me personally, what I do passively at least, I'll say this, there's many different ways you can earn money passively, and that is more so a better way to manage your time too, or get a better like experience in time management, I would say. Because with more passive income, you have to look at things as projects and look at things as putting energy towards one thing earlier in time than like consistently, you know? I know active income can be monotonous because if I get to do the same thing or similar things day to day, but with passive income, I would say it's something you have to put time into at one period of time and then you reap the benefits of it throughout time, if that makes sense. So with investing, well, I'll say this. So with investing, there are ETFs and mutual index funds. which are good for lower risk ways of earning money passively, right? Although, again, you can go higher risk if you want, but that requires you being more active to the point where it's almost like an active job in a sense. But you can always get good returns if you pick, again, the right companies to invest your top your money and your energy into. But I will say there are various indexes, there are various ETFs that are lower risk that will, you know what I'm saying, help you earn more money, but again, at a lower rate because of the risk involved with it. So that's one part of investing, right? And if you're going to go extremely high risk, I would say, as like eye rolling as it is to like mention it, cryptocurrency is a viable like avenue. I'm not gonna get into the nitty gritty of it, but it is a viable. You can't say it like that's not true.
No, it is. It makes you money.
It crazy returns, and I would say I'm not gonna give any suggestions or anything like that, but I will say pay attention. Whether you like it or not, personally, it is a thing. As of anything. And it's just best to keep your eye on things, I would say. Because you never know what could happen, regulatorily speaking, with, you know what I'm saying, the political aspect of it, or even on a smaller scale, with like coins within ecosystems, I would say, on chain. But those are, again, active and passive. Now, I will give my personal way of earning passive income, and that's by reselling clothes. One of them, at least. One of them is just reselling clothes, right? Everybody knows about reselling, I feel like, at this point. But if you really want to like do like start your own shop or something like that, a good way to do it is by buying vintage cheese in bulk. Not in bale, you can buy in bales too, which is like crazy, but you can buy like anything in bulk, really. It doesn't have to be just clothes, but anything in bulk, yeah, like a wholesale price, and resell it that way. Because if there's enough of it to be in bulk, then there's probably the people that probably want to get it, right? And so what you're doing, although the profit margins can vary depending on the item, all you're doing is pretty much just being a middleman to a degree, and then you're just kind of distributing it that way. There are various benefits to doing that, but it's something that you have to be, to a degree, entrepreneurial enough to maintain on your own, I would say. So if I may ask, do any of you all have any like passive forms of income at all, by chance?
Not that I know of.
My mom sent me money every month.
That is
crispy
nut. I mean, do you have the money that she sent you, like, at least, like,
yeah, it helps boost up the money I already earned from work. Mm-hmm. And I'll just put it into savings.
I like to say yes, but it's not really, like, something that's, like, active.
Yeah.
Like, I resell clothes sometimes, or resell shoes and whatnot, whatever I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to build my collection right now. So,
yeah.
I'll
that later. Yeah. I mean, that's why it's passive in the first place. Because otherwise, it'll just be active. Not as active, but it'll still be, like, active, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But those are the two sides of that coin. I think I covered all bases, right?
I mean, yeah. Just remember, like, if you guys need, like, any resources or anything, there's places like Trio or the Student Money Management Center. They have a lot of good things on hand to help you with budgeting, savings, and investing and earning. They have a bunch of good financial coaches that can help you that. Remember, guys, we're not Dave Ramsey. We don't do this for everyday living.
Yeah, no, this is our experiences in life, you know, as a college student. I think what we forgot to say, though.
We're college students first.
Yeah, we're college students first, but what I think we forgot to say is our classification.
Oh, right. We freshmen.
Yeah.
Technically,
so I'll say this for Sam, me, Sam, Chance, and I. This is our first year as college students on like a university campus,
yes.
Right? So this is like our experiences in our first year being here so far, and we're in second semester, so like a semester is a change, and what we've done so far. They have more experience than us. What's your classification, by chance?
I'm a sophomore.
Yeah.
And I'm a junior.
Yeah. So.
Wait, see, chance? So, we're freshmen.
We're all freshmen. We're just sticking through. We're learning as we go, just like anybody else right now. But, again, you brought two people that are, I guess, in a sense, seasoned veterans.
Seasoned veterans.
But, yeah. I think we covered all bases.
Yeah, but I would just want to reiterate again. Go to, if you need more resources on anything that we're talking about, go talk to Trio. Trio, they're on most, if not all, college campuses. You don't just have to be a UNT student to get those resources when it comes to learning about loans, too, because we didn't talk about that. Yeah. But that's something that's kind of like the boogeyman for every college student. And there are good loans and there are bad loans. Learn the difference between subsidized loans and unsubsidized. They will help you out a lot. Also, go to your university scholarship portal or whatever county or state you're in to have a distinct scholarship portal that can help you get money opportunities to pay for college. Right? Or, and this is the last one, just talk to people. Everyone else has a different way of paying for things and just getting money in general. And I'm pretty sure if you talk to someone, it's not that taboo of a topic anymore to talk about how you get your money. So just ask around. You should find something that'll work out for you. And that's what I'm saying. All things relating to money and how you get money is for you. Whatever we do, if it's not going to work out for you, don't do it. And if those resources might not work out for you, don't do it. Just try to find a good way to become more financially literate yourself.
I mean, that's it. I think that's it for today, guys.
Yeah, that's it for this one, at least.
Episode one.
Episode one. Hopefully, get past the body.
Let's not get canceled.
Yeah, that's something I'll pull up on in this. This is Money Talks with Samuel Buffalo about it. Chance.
McGowan.
And me, Bourbon Hall, and our two guests, Chris Lynn
Hawthorne.
And
Francis Esoljo.
Yes.
But yeah, thank you so much. We'll see you sometime, hopefully.
Maybe.
But thank you for listening. And that's about it. Goodbye.
For more information about the UNT Student Money Management Center, visit our website at moneymanagement.unt.edu. Remember, financial literacy is your key to success. Until next time, stay focused, stay informed, and financially empowered.